Welcome to Homepage. It's August. It is the dog days of August. This is Duo Dickinson. I'm an architect, and I come here every month on the fourth Sunday of every month in WPKN 89.5 FM on your radio dial, or you may actually be listening on the streaming end, www.wpkn.org, or you may simply be channeling me in some alternative universe that Rod Richards and I were talking about, which has nothing to do with radio, real life, or anything. But that brings me back to Rod Richardson, who himself is, I think, an alternative universe, at least in this universe of WPKN. So, Rod, I'm going to spring something on you. I know this is universal and yet somewhat off. This show is called Home AC. Okay? Air conditioning is now becoming almost a requirement. What do you think about air conditioning, Rod?
There's only one place where I really like to have it, and that's in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But in the home, short story. When we moved into the house about 15 years ago, or first looked at it, one of the things we said to the previous owners were, take the air conditioners with you.
Mm.
They didn't.
Ooh.
They left them in the closet,
mm.
where they have remained for the entire 15 years. Because I don't like to rely on air conditioning. I think it's actually bad for us to sort of, I mean, I know that some people really need it, but for myself, I find that I tolerate the heat pretty well. And I think it's good to sort of condition oneself to be able to keep doing that. And so when I had the opportunity to visit Africa in 1996, some of the people I was traveling with were kind of, you know, not doing too well because of the weather, where I was sort of walking around thinking, oh, this is just like Connecticut in the summertime, particularly these days. But I think that, you know, we over-rely on air conditioning. It's, if you don't need it, you shouldn't use it, I guess is what I'm sort of, is my mindset. And so I, for the most part, have lived in very few places where there was any sort of air conditioning at all. And I feel like I've been really fortunate. But I also noticed that the house I live in, which is over 100 years old, actually stays pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. In fact, sometimes it's weird because I'll like have to go outside to get warm because the house is still so cool, which is a little weird. Anyway, so that's my take on air conditioning.
Well, your take is going to be combined with five other people's take today on Homepage Radio. And Rod and I, of course, are brothers from another mother, because the truth of the matter is my wife Liz and I built our home 35 years ago. Yes, and we occupied it yesterday, 35 years ago to the day. And in those 35 years, we had one room have a Pinguino air conditioner for two summers when my wife was pregnant. Other than that, we've never actually had air conditioning anywhere in our house ever, or in the barn that we built. And we would both think that it would be great if it were cooler, but neither one of us really feels that air conditioning is a requirement. But the truth is, air conditioning has become a requirement, bizarrely, in our culture. America is 87% air conditioned. The government that says that also says that 48% of all energy consumption is in treating our home's air, whether it's heating or cooling. And if you're down south, realize that you don't spend a dime on heating your air. You're spending all your dimes on air conditioning. I mean, that comes at a time when we are told that we've got 12 years left to resolve carbon emissions, or we'll permanently change our climate and make it even warmer. I mean, this is ironic to a 64-year-old me, because I remember when Richard Nixon sat in his den in, I think it was 1974, turned up the air conditioning in July so hot during the Watergate hearings that he could actually put the fireplace on. So it was this bizarre thing of becoming cold enough to get warm. That sense of entitlement of, I am a human, I need to have my climate fit me, is what made Willis Carrier sort of become the quote-unquote father of air conditioning and then introduce it to the world on the World's Fair of 1939. It also meant that a guy literally named, I think, or literally a company named Frigidaire, meant to have frigid air, introduced it in homes in the 1920s. And in fact, all through America, the first air conditioning was really in movie theaters. And it really became something so compelling that the terrific, now long dead, David Brinkley, the commentator from DC, noted that when they were contemplating putting air conditioning in the U.S. Capitol, one person said it will foretell the collapse of the Republic, because he thought that then the Congress would stay in session all summer, kind of like they do now. But they used to be out for 4 months, and he thought that that extra 4 months of being in session would mean more taxes, more regulation, the end of the world as that person knew it. Well, those anecdotes, those long-time realities of not having air conditioning until really after World War II, really belies the fact that America is the number one consumer of air conditioning by a lot, but we're leading the way. The same group that talks about our air conditioning load says that there's going to be a 300% increase in the next 11 years in third world energy consumption due to air conditioning only. I mean, our computers requirement here at PKN were air conditioned because the stuff would overheat if we didn't have it. My car has it, just like Rod's. And in my office, we have it because we use, as architects, we use computers all the time. The computers can't exist above a certain temperature. They just shut down. But saying that, even though Brazil has 11% of its population air conditioned, India 2%, and thousands of people died in France during the heat wave a few years ago, and that I received on my Facebook page today, based on the promotion of the show, a woman from Florida said, I would literally die without it. My take is that air conditioning is a lot like our cars having standard transmission. Do you remember when it was an option to have standard transmission? Do you remember when it was exotic and luxurious, and that similarly, air conditioning in a car was this really cool thing, literally cool thing? Remember when it was like that, the vast majority of cars had those little triangular windows you could pop open and turn towards where you were driving so that you could get blasted by the also warm air, but it would be traveling over your sweaty body and it would make the sweat evaporate and you'd feel better. Now, this idea of being able to control things is why we like green, sustainable architecture, buildings, furniture, everything. People import bamboo flooring from thousands of miles away, despite its carbon footprint, and they like very efficient air conditioning, even though air conditioning is completely unnecessary. So it's a very interesting thing that we want to control things, so we rationalize it and we make air conditioning and bamboo flooring and standard transmissions so that we're not Luddites. We're not cursing the past. We're living into the future. We really think that air conditioning is what we are entitled to. So today on Homepage Radio, we're going to talk about the fact that air conditioning is now a requirement, when it wasn't, not so long ago. Not for my family or Rod's family right now. Maybe it's not for your family. So we're going to be talking to a very interesting author, Shane Cashman, who wrote 2 years ago in The Atlantic a piece that questions this. Then we'll talk to Stephanie Lesnick, who has an entire farm and deals with all sorts of mammals that are hot. We will deal with Curtis Wayne, who is an architect and an interesting person that does a different take on life itself in architecture. We'll talk to a guy named Gideon Fountain out of Fairfield County, who really understands the real estate market to the west of WPKN. And then we'll talk to Lee Whiteman, who is also a real estate broker, and she really understands the real estate market to the east of WPKN. So here on Homepage, if you're sitting in air conditioning, if you're sitting in your car and it's air conditioned, if you're not sitting in air conditioning, think about it. This is Duo Dickinson on Homepage Radio. Well, that music is pretty cool, Rod. It's very cool.
Thank you.
I feel cooler sitting in it, but then again, I am sitting in air conditioning, so I should feel cool anyway. This is Homepage Radio, by the way, on WPKN 89.5 FM on your radio dial. And WPKN also will be podcast. All of these things will be podcast, so do look for that. And we're talking today about home AC. Okay? Is it okay that we've evolved as a species to have air conditioning, a microclimate determined by us, for us, pretty much using dead dinosaurs, or maybe wind or sun, but really a lot of dead dinosaurs, using a lot of fossil fuels to create a cooler environment wherever we are that's fully enclosed? In fact, it is so desirable in the human species that the International Journal of Mechanical Engineers basically says that the modeling results that are being dealt with say that by 2050, there'll be 10 times the amount of energy usage for air conditioning in the third world than there is today. 10 times in the third world, meaning a place that's got maybe two or three times the population of the first world is going to have 10 times the amount of their energy used in making places cooler. Now, that's a value judgment of the marketplace. And that value judgment was the subject of an article in Atlantic Magazine by Shane Cashman called The History of Air Conditioning. Shane, welcome to Homepage Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Shane has written for everything besides Atlantic, BBC Travel, Penthouse, Vice. He teaches at Manhattanville College in Purchase. And his stories can be seen on his website, which is shanecashman.com. But most importantly, Shane, tell me about air conditioning.
Well, it started out of necessity, and people were a little apprehensive about it when people started using their alchemy to change the weather indoors. I can think as far back as Cornelius Drebbel, who was an alchemist, who went and performed kind of a weird magical event for King James when they used to store snow underground to be used throughout the summer, and he got some snow. And he mixed some potassium nitrate and some salt and some water. And he cooled the palace hall down, they say, about 20 degrees.
Wow.
And the story goes that King James ran out of the place afraid. So that was the beginning. And from there, people just kept trying to tinker with the weather indoors.
My. Now, in your article, the Atlantic is this great place of I think, wonderful suspended judgment. You actually, the subtitle of the article I found to be pretty great. It basically called into question whether or not air conditioning was moral. It said cooling the air was once seen as sinful. Maybe the idea isn't totally wrong.
It seems to be, it's in flux always. You know, when people first started doing these performances with the air, they thought it was a sin. They said you shouldn't be messing around with the weather. But then, that kind of idea started to wane around the 1930s, 1940s, when people really liked the idea of sitting in a cool house. But, with that came the consequences of all the stuff we were putting in the air that was coming out of those machines, like the Freon.
And now they've changed that. So we're no longer killing the ozone layer with our air conditioners. But now, and we are creating, I think, cooler temperatures at much lower usages of energy. But why do you think, this is off whatever I've read that you've written, why do you think there has been almost an embargo on negative press about air conditioning in an era where the Green New Deal is this huge political force?
Yeah. It's interesting. Anytime someone tries to invent a new version of the air conditioner, it kind of gets shot down.
Mm.
And I think that dates back to even the very beginning of the air conditioner, because there was, at the time, at the very beginning of what we might know as air conditioner, they were still transporting ice across the ocean.
Mm.
And they called him the Ice King. I can't remember his name, but this man was a monopoly of the ice, and he did not like the idea of these things taking him out of business.
Interesting.
The huge operation, people chopping up the ice on the lakes and sending it across the ocean. So, you know, he was the first person to kind of smear the air conditioner.
Well, there's a weird reciprocity just comes to my brain, which is that basically in New England, where PKN, WPKN is and where a lot of us are, there was something, you know, called the Maunder Minimum that actually created the Little Ice Age from about, you know, the 15th century through the 19th century. And temperatures were down dramatically to the point where whole harbors like New Haven Harbor and Bridgeport Harbor and New York Harbor froze over, and they harvested ice like crazy to use for ice boxes. And it's kind of a weird symmetry that as things get warmer, humans no longer use ice to cool things. They use cooling things to make ice.
Yep. That was the byproduct of the early invention of the air conditioner was Dr. John Gorey. I think that was in the 1850s. He created a system of tubes to help keep his patients with malaria cool, and this is in Florida.
Wow.
And that was a byproduct was that the when the air was getting compressed in the tubes, ice crystals formed, and then that was like the big deal. People were like, "Oh, this is way more interesting than cooling people or keeping indoors cold. What's really cool is ice." Obviously for drinks, and they thought, you know, at the time they were also using types of fans to blow the cool air of ice onto people. So yeah, the ice is fascinating. We take it for granted now.
Well, it is an interesting thing that it's become a requirement. You would know this from a perspective of a journalist. There are people that have written that the human condition has changed so that we are more temperature sensitive than we used to be since air conditioning became virtually a blanket on the American culture. What do you think of that?
I think it's definitely probable. I mean, I can feel it myself, knowing that I was at the beach this morning and knowing that I could go home to some air conditioning. It felt good, and I felt like I could maybe withstand the outdoors a little more. But that said, I grew up for, you know, 20 years without air conditioning. I grew up in a house without an air conditioner, and I really like a cool breeze through a window.
Yeah.
But I do think there is something to be said about people, the luxury that we have of controlling temperature inside. And, you know, it might be the case that we can't, at a certain point in the future, can't just withstand certain temperatures because we are getting a bit of it less of a thick skin. I don't know. Anything's possible. But
it is interesting.
People who want to create weather for themselves, like these personal weather spots. And that's like the thing that's kind of starting to take over now.
There are many little products on the internet that basically offer a personal air conditioning involving jewelry or garments or elements that you put on your body that are in theory supposed to cool you. They're cool steering wheels on cars. Car seats are supposed to cool you. It is an interesting thing that the personalization of space has become this micro.
You know, it's funny because I will say again, it's like these things come in waves. When I think it was like when Willis Carrier with the Carrier air conditioner started getting popular, there were other people who were also trying to invent personal weather stations.
Really?
There was a guy who tried inventing what he called a personal rainstorm. That was like a balloon that was above you and it rained water down on you. So it's like that idea has always been there. But now more than ever, there are all these little inventions that you could, there's a shirt, I think it's in China, that you can wear that cools you.
Yes.
And a necklace or a bracelet. Yeah, you can control. No, it's not the indoors anymore. It's you personally. How do you want to be?
Man, what are you writing about now, Shane?
Right now, where am I? I have a story coming out tomorrow. Coming about Pine Island, New York. It's the onion capital of the world. So I just finished that up. And
what is that story on, the Pine Island story?
That's going to be in the BBC Travel.
Wow.
And it was a bunch of time spent with farmers out there. These guys and women have been there for four generations, you know, from Poland mostly, and Volga Germans. And they come there and they've been working the same land for many, many, many years.
Probably without air conditioning. Shane, it's great talking to you. And everybody, go take a look at ShaneCashman.com. His polymathic focus is extraordinary. Shane, thank you for being on Homepage Radio.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
No problem. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Stephanie Lesnick, who's been on the show before. The reason why Stephanie besides being an enormously talented, thoughtful, loving, good human, is important is that Stephanie is more or less in charge of not only her four offspring and spouse, but she's also in charge of a menagerie of animals and a blanket of plants. And I would like to talk to Stephanie about heat on the farm. This is Duo Dickinson at Homepage Radio and WPKN. Be back in a couple minutes. This is Duo Dickinson, Homepage Radio and WPKN. Every month, Homepage Radio takes up topics about where we live in terms of our homes. Not just, you know, the trends and the DIY stuff, but actually the fundamental realities of how we perceive our homes. One of the fundamental realities that we look at in terms of the way we receive the entire world is our temperature, how warm we are. It's New England is an enormous temperature swing from -5 or 10 to 105 or 10. So it's a very wide, broad annual swing of temperature from where we really need heat in our homes. And now we really need air conditioning to feel kind of normal. And that's a new phenomenon. That's really only happened since World War II. The fact that we feel entitled to control the atmosphere beyond the atmosphere itself. We want to change the atmosphere. In fact, 20%, $60 billion a year is spent in the American economy just towards air conditioning. 20% of the domestic budget of most people that deal with consumables is spent on air conditioning. Obviously, a lot more down south, a lot less way up north, but it's $60 billion a year. So if that's the case, why? I looked at a great website, and it's a website of something called the NCBI. I'm not even really sure what that is, but it's a governmental website in the National Institute of Health. And it says, well, you know, there are ways that buildings have always dealt with heat. They have cross ventilation. They have reflecting surfaces. They have shading devices. They're now green roofs. Remember, buildings used to be made out of sod. There's a building orientation to avoid the sun. There's also an orientation to grab wind. There's also just existing trees and shrubs that actually shade things. We seem to be forgetting that in a world where, to some extent, the elite idea is of a perfect house box with plate glass and flat walls and the idea that we're in this domestic bliss of extreme contemporary control of things. That's really belied by the way almost all the rest of us live. Almost the rest of us live in a place of homes that are at least a generation old and more, and also deal with existing family structures, communities, and also existing environments. So into this world of existing conditions, I want to bring in Stephanie Lesnick. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Duo.
And Stephanie owns something called Field House Farm in Madison, Connecticut. Stephanie, could you just describe Field House Farm and your family and the way those two things interact?
So Field House Farm is our family home in Madison, Connecticut, which we purchased 9.5 years ago and recreated the farm here and named it Field House Farm in honor of its former occupants many, many years ago, but it's a 1720 farmhouse, which has been fully renovated. And we brought our brood of four, my husband and I brought our four children here. At the time, we had 2 7-year-olds and a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. And now they've all done the thing that they all do, which is grow up. And so now we're looking down the barrel of college and two middle schoolers.
And how many other animals do you deal with every day?
We have three dogs in the house with us. We have two cows, a donkey, seven sheep, eight goats, many chickens, many turkeys, many babies, baby turkeys and chickens, yeah.
So tell me, now this is why I have you on the show, because I think you are unique of my friends. Tell me how the heat affects all those beings.
So that's actually funny, because my husband just called me and said, have you turned the giant fan on the animals today? And we do. We have a 4.5-foot diameter fan that stands up in the barn, and it runs through the barn, and it moves the air and it cools them off. I think mostly it just moves the air. I'm not sure it cools them off in weather like this. But you have to remember, those sheep are wearing the wool that they've been growing since April when we sheared them. So they're very warm. They don't tolerate any activity. My breed specifically does not tolerate any activity in this kind of weather. We've actually, in years past, lost, sheep who...
Really?
...were running around playing, doing their thing, and overheated, and they just don't have the capacity to cool themselves. They can't really pant.
No.
They don't really pant. And so they just get trapped inside this wool coat. So we do have to take some measures. Obviously, fresh, cold water at all times. It takes a couple times a day. They're drinking a ton to replenish themselves. They do stay very quiet, so making sure that they have shade. They love dirt, a dry dirt that they can cool themselves with. And then this fan cooling system that we have.
That's right.
That the goats just, honestly, the goats knock it over and stand on top of it. As goats do. So that's the battle we have.
So how do you deal with it in your home? Do you have central air conditioning or air conditioning units, or how do you deal with it?
So our home, when our home was renovated in 2008, they put in central air, which was new to us when we bought it. And I think it took us probably 3 years before we turned it on.
Wow.
And it felt like such a luxury that we'd never had. Greg didn't grow up with it. I didn't grow up with it. And so we thought, well, we obviously don't need it. Mm. And then we turned it on one day, and it was so amazing. So we use it very infrequently, but on a day like today, when it dries out the air a little bit,
yes,
it makes everybody feel just a little bit better. So it is a luxury that we never had, that now that we do have, we do like to enjoy it.
Well, I'll tell you, Stephanie, I wish I had more time, but your perspective is one I think people forget, is that we aren't just us. We're the rest of the world, and these animals are hot too, and the world is hot, sure. And it's a different place. Thank you for being on Homepage Radio, Stephanie.
All right, Duo. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. So next we're going to have Curtis Wayne, who does a lot of things. He's an architect. He's written stuff. He also does voiceovers. I've been on the radio with Curtis Wayne for the better part of a decade, on and off, doing different things, and we work in architecture. But Curtis has got an interesting perspective pretty much on everything, and I want his perspective on where we are in terms of air conditioning and our culture. This is Homepage Radio, WPKN 89.5 FM on your radio dial, and WPKN is user-funded. It's listener-funded. Without you, there would be no WPKN, so I just encourage you to go to the website, wpkn.org. I encourage you to go there and actually just take a look and see what all the things this station does and all the ways you can help it. This is Duo Dickinson on Homepage Radio. Welcome back to Homepage Radio on WPKN. This month's show is called Home AC. Okay? This show will talk about our desire to micromanage our physical microenvironment around us in our homes, now that cars are pretty much a standard issue with AC, and most of America, 87% of America, is air conditioned, according to the last survey. In fact, the American Society of Mechanical Engineers declares straight up, quote, air conditioning has grown from a luxury to a necessity and contributed in many ways to the quality of life in both the U.S. and the industrialized world, close quote. From nothing before World War II to a necessity, food, shelter, clothing, and air conditioning. Into this new world, I've asked Curtis B. Wayne, by the way, I did neglect his middle initial, Curtis B. Wayne, a storyteller, a voiceover artist, a former radio producer and host, author of An Architectural Manifesto, pretty great stuff, and he sort of kind of incidentally, but I think pretty intentionally, became a licensed architect in 1979. And he really has dealt with designing energy efficient things for a very long time. Curtis, welcome to Homepage Radio.
Hey, Duo. Great. You know, I've stopped being an architect and I'm becoming a voiceover artist.
This better sound good or you're screwed.
Talking to you from my sound booth.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know.
I like that.
But let's talk about air conditioning, you know?
Yes, sir.
Because I've been in voiceover training, I could tell, you were reading that. You weren't just saying that.
Well, I was reading what you wrote, so therefore, yes.
Before that, you were reading about 87%. Anyway, listen, our ancestors lived without air conditioning, and somehow here we are. And when I was a little boy, way back in the 20th century, in Cook County, Illinois, there was one of the first totally enclosed shopping malls.
Mm.
It's called Randhurst. It might have been the second. It might have been the third, and they advertised that it was 72 degrees year round.
Yes.
And so my mom took us over there one day. And 72 degrees in the middle of August in Illinois was cold. It was cold.
I would have said heaven, freezing. But
so let's talk about that a little bit. You know, around 1976 or 77, President Carter said that the energy crisis was the moral equivalent of war.
Yes.
And he, by executive order, mandated that all federal facilities, which included at that time post offices, be only air conditioned to 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and the federal highways are at 55 miles an hour.
Exactly. And 80 without dehumidification was kind of hot.
Sticky.
Now, I wasn't listening to the station before this, so I don't know what you might have otherwise talked about apropos of air conditioning. So,
well, lay it on us.
So bring me up to speed. What's your beef?
Well, it's not a beef. I think the most interesting thing is exactly what you said, which is that we're human beings change. You know, at one time we were probably covered in hair. Now we're pretty much just skin. We basically were probably walking on all fours. Now we're standing up. The bottom line is that we did not even think air conditioning was needed before we thought it was possible. And we built so many things with the idea of temperature control in these wildly swinging parts of New England, where we made windows that opened on two sides of a space, where we made overhangs that shaded things, where we made openings that could open so that we could actually get the wind to flow through them, as well as making things like central fireplaces that could heat an entire place. So in a way, you could make a case that the invisible, silent air conditioning has separated human beings even further from their origins than ever. What do you think?
Duo, could you ask Rod to turn up the gain on your side? Because I can hardly hear you.
Oh, well, I'll just say basically, why don't you give me your take on air conditioning as a indicator of our hypocrisy between wanting to be close to the earth with green and sustainable things, and at the same time demanding that we be comfortable.
Okay, well, you know, I have done a little research into this, and there was a man named Carrier.
Right.
And he introduced or developed the very first air conditioning systems for movie theaters, you know, back in the 1920s. I don't think that he ever imagined that we would have little tiny air conditioning units in our houses. It was something to make masses of people, you know, 400 or 500 people watching a talkie be comfortable in the summertime. And then the notion of, I don't want to perspire. My place of work. Come on. I mean, do you remember the days of us drawing on paper?
Sure.
And, you know, and there were the plop plops, right? Yep. So that's why you had a handkerchief or
a fan
or a bandana. And we rolled up our sleeves because we were perspiring. And I remember being in my third grade grammar school classroom in June, and the our teacher, Miss Sutherland, would turn off the lights and lower the shades. And, you
know. Yes, and I remember that too.
That was life. I have resisted these last 3 or 4 days turning on the window air conditioning units in my apartment here in Manhattan because there's a really great passage in my Dinner with Andre where Andre Gregory is having an extended conversation with Wallace Shawn, and he talks about being cold and he talks about the electric blanket versus put more blankets on the bed. And you should be in the moment of, well, it's cold, so yes, you put more blankets. So I would say that if it's hot, we wear fewer clothes, or we walk more slowly. Now, you probably drove to WPKN, right?
Well, I hitched, but, you know, it's hard to get a ride.
Yeah, but you probably had the AC on, right?
Well, my driver did, yes.
Well, you know, cars used to have those vents that swiveled
the side
around.
Windows. Yeah, we just were talking about those.
And, you know, we don't have those anymore.
No.
Because we have a machine to cool us. So I've been involved with renovating some lovely old houses, most of which were designed by Calvert Vaux. You would know his name, but for civilians, if you've ever walked through Central Park in New York City, Calvert Vaux designed all of the buildings and all of the bridges in Central Park.
Yep.
And he was in partnership with Olmsted. He was also, prior to that, in partnership with Alexander Jackson Downing.
Right.
And they were big on beautiful, we would probably call them Queen Anne or Victorian, cottages. So there are all these buildings that have been abandoned in Newburgh, New York, and I've been renovating or being the architect of record for renovating them. and with the materials that we have available today.
And that includes air conditioning.
We do not put in air conditioning. We put in energy recovery ventilators.
Ah, there you go.
And we teach people how to live in their space with the daily cycle of temperatures.
Yeah.
You know, close the windows here, open the windows there. The energy ventilator sucks some humidity of the air.
Right.
And you can live very comfortably at 82 degrees if you have fresh airflow.
I would love to talk to you all the time. We have a couple more guests, but Curtis B. Wayne, I'll have you back on for sure to talk about any number of things, because pretty much with those pipes, you can talk about anything. So good talking to you, yeah. Curtis B. Wayne.
Hey, duo. See you later, George.
You sure shall. Thank you, Mr. Wayne. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This is Duo Dickinson on Homepage Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk to Gideon Fountain, a person that knows real estate and probably knows about air conditioning too. This is Homepage Radio. Welcome back to Homepage Radio. I'm Duo Dickinson. WPKN 89.5 FM on your radio dial has us on once a month. We talk about issues involving the home, not just DIY and decoration and all that kind of stuff, but the essential formative realities of how we view a human necessity where we live. Today on Homepage Radio, we're talking about air conditioning and what a strange new reality it is, given the fact that for thousands of years, we never had it. Now it's a requirement. And with me is Gideon Fountain. He's a real estate agent in Greenwich, which is to the west of us here at WPKN, and he's been selling homes for 30 years, and he grew up there, and he actually hosts a radio show, which is on WGCH, and it talks about what sells. So, Gideon, welcome. Welcome to Homepage Radio.
Hey, Dale, how do you do?
It's a pleasure to meet you on the air. And it's more of a pleasure to ask you one simple question that I think you are uniquely situated to answer. Is air conditioning a requirement to sell a home in your market? I hope you can answer that. Maybe you can't. We might have lost him. Oh my goodness. That's not good. So on live radio, things like this happen. And what we're going to try to do is reconnect with him. But in the meantime, I'd like to also state a very simple and interesting thing, that in this world of marketing places that we're where we live, we end up creating things like large windows or like fireplaces that don't do anything except look like fire, or things like gigantic showers, because we want them and can use them. And air conditioning, which was one of those options, has now become as essential in real estate, really, as roofs, walls, everything. And it is an essential reality of our homes. Like now a garage is seen as essential for more and more homes. The question being, as we tend to urbanize, will air conditioning become more important because cities are inherently more hot and have less passive cooling capacity than a home on a hillside with a breeze or large overhangs that shade things, or the normal ways that we could make our homes comfortable without air conditioning? So as we urbanize and as the world gets warmer, does air conditioning become more of an essential part of everyone's life? And therefore, is it becoming now like food, shelter, and clothing, something that becomes a necessity? Well, we once thought that cars were a necessity, but in the walkable cities movement, we now realize that cars are really a delightful option. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Lee Whiteman, who's a real estate broker to the east of us in Guilford. And Lee will tell us whether or not it's important to have air conditioning. And she knows. She grew up in a 19th or 18th, maybe even 19th century farmhouse. When we come back, Lee Whiteman on Homepage Radio. Hey, welcome back to Homepage Radio. I'm Duo Dickinson on WPKN 89.5 FM on your dial. And we're talking this week on Homepage about air conditioning. It's really become something which is as essential as an automatic transmission in your car. It isn't really necessary, but now it is necessary from nowhere. And we got cut off from our previous guest, Gideon Fountain, and we'll bring him back on. But we always wanted to have and are delighted to have Lee Whiteman on the line. Lee, how are you?
I'm very well, Duo.
I would call it trivializing to say that Lee Whiteman is a real estate broker. Lee Whiteman is sort of a real estate presence. She's had three generations in real estate. She's surrounded by relatives in real estate called the Whiteman team at William Ravis in Guilford. And Lee, you've done this for 30 years and more than that.
Yep.
You grew up in a home that I've looked at with you and helped you with. Tell us, just from your perspective of doing this for so long, how has air conditioning changed in the perception of the American homeowner?
Well, everybody feels they must have it. And I think the air conditioning in cars has actually been part of our current situation.
Mm.
Because we might meet a client at the office, which is air conditioned. We go out and we have a minute of heat and humidity and we get into an air conditioned car. Mm. And then we go to the first property and we get out. We have a minute outside and we go into an air conditioned place. And let's say you have a tour of four houses, if you're comfortable in the houses that have air conditioning, you go into one that doesn't have it. And the question is, what's wrong?
You know,
and how can I remedy it?
Interesting.
So wow. I think that because people are, all new construction is built with air conditioning, the big question for us is, how can I get air conditioning into these houses? Now, because I grew up in the house built, 19th century house, I was aware of things like you've already talked about on the program, overhangs and how you open the basement door and open the attic door, and there's a kind of a chimney effect that takes the hot air away. And having vacationed quite a bit in the tropics, you pull the shades down in the morning and when the sun is on the other side. So I do try to talk to people about how to manage in a house that doesn't have air conditioning.
Now, when you're dealing with these homes, and I think this has to be different from when you started 30 years ago, my assumption is that when you sell a home that does not have it, the idea is that is an automatic devaluation of the home, and you have to then ascribe a value adjustment for it. In homes, what do you think is a reasonable value adjustment for a home from its full potential value to one that doesn't have air conditioning?
Well, I spend a lot of time with appraisers whose job is to mostly to value properties so that they can tell the bank that's making the loan whether it's worth it or not.
Mm.
So I ask them, well, what kind of value are you giving for air conditioning? And they remind me that the way that they determine value is what's the difference between a house that has it and doesn't have it.
Right.
It does not mean what does it cost to put it in.
Right.
So when I'm doing a market analysis for a seller, I'm doing the same thing, you know, gleaning all of that information from the appraisers. And on a modestly sized home, let's say something that's up to 2,400 square feet, the value is $10,000.
Interesting.
Now you get into a big, now does it cost $10,000 to put AC in? Well, if you were to do the mini splits that are so omnipresent now, the heat exchange units, yeah, you could do that by having two or three well-placed mini splits. I think that as time goes on, they'll work at making them not be so hideously ugly. But you could do that. But doing a central air system would cost more than $10,000.
Oh, absolutely.
So when I'm talking to people who are just contemplating, what should I do? I'm not going to sell this house for 10 years or 5 years, but we're wondering about AC. My advice is get some bids, talk to people about putting it in, maybe just put it in on the second floor and let it filter down to the first floor, but do it now so you get to enjoy it before you sell it, because there's nothing worse than putting it in and you're putting the house on the market the next month and you say, why did we wait?
Listen, I could talk to you all afternoon, and I will at some point. So, but thank
yes,
you,
we
Lee,
will.
For being so thoughtful about this and giving us the up close and personal reality of air conditioning in a real estate market that is changing. So thank you,
yes.
Lee.
Thank you, Duo. Have a good day.
Thank you. So here on Homepage Radio, we really try to think about things that are not marketing, that are values. And the values of the human condition are pretty simple. Humans tend to want to be in control. They tend to want to feel like they aren't being victimized by their circumstances. They want to actually feel like the circumstances of their lives are the things that they own, like they own their home. Well, the thing is, we don't own the way we feel heat and cool. We will always be too hot because the world is not air conditioned. We will always get sick because we are not machines. But even machines break. Even home machines that make cooler air break. So that when you're thinking about air conditioning as something that is really part of your life, I would really encourage you to think about what other parts of your life you can't control. And think about air conditioning more as a gift, not a right. You're not entitled to air conditioning, but you can own it. This is Duo Dickinson, Homepage Radio on WPKN. And I hope you will join us, and I hope you will also go to our podcasts that are on the WPKN website and listen to scores of programs that we have done over the last few years. This is Duo Dickinson.